This morning is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, have you ever thought about what it's like in heaven?
Yes.
Yeah? You ever tried to picture, I wonder what it's going to be like up there? You know, we use spatial imagery all the time for heaven and hell. It's like Karen was mentioning, you go up to heaven, you go down to hell, right? So, you know where that imagery comes from? It comes from the cosmology that people used to believe in. People used to believe that the earth was at the center of the universe, and, of course, the sun and the planets and everything went around the earth. And then hell literally, because the earth was flat, right? The hell literally was way down there, and heaven literally was up there, beyond the stars. So people thought of it in that way, in spatial terms. Jesus does not use spatial terms. He does not say going up to heaven or down to hell. He talks about it in terms of periods of time, ages, he calls them. This age and the next age. In this age, people marry and are given in marriage. So, in order to fully understand why he speaks as he does about marriage, we need to go back and think about marriage, what it was, what it meant back in first century Galilee. So marriage in first century Galilee happened in this way. When a male turned 18 and a female became able to conceive children, the families, most marriages were arranged. People didn't meet and fall in love. There was no such thing. People didn't have time for that. Okay, your life expectancy was short. And children needed to be born as quickly as possible. So families, most marriages were arranged, and the family of the bride and the family of the groom would get together, and they'd come up with a marriage contract. So, the bride would usually bring something of value with her into the marriage in case the husband died and she needed to be cared for. She needed some kind of, something of value to care for her, or whatever, but these were marriage contracts, and the way people thought of marriage back then is that was part of the reason that we were put on this planet. We needed to have the institution of marriage in order to have children. That was at the center. That was the central purpose of it. That, along with being what in the book of Genesis is called a helpmate, because some people, it was the woman, of course, had to take care of making the bread and mending the clothes and taking care of the little garden and whatever, and the men were out in the field, most of them. So you had to have two people to run a household, and as many children as possible. As many as possible. That was the ideal, because that was the purpose, to have as many children as possible. Okay, be fruitful and multiply. So that's why there was this law that if some poor guy died before having a child, the brother, if there was one, should have a child with his widow in order that his line will continue. In any case, Jesus talks about that as being something important for this age, an age where the species will die out if there isn't children. There has to be marriage to be children. So obviously, in this age, marriage is a central part of life, as people conceived of it back in first century Galilee. Okay, as part of the purpose of life. In the age to come, there's no need for it, because there's no death. There's no need for children. There's no need for new people to be born, because nobody dies in the age to come. So, as I was thinking about this, I was trying to come up with a metaphor that might help us understand how Jesus is thinking about this. Because giving images of what life beyond death is like is out of the question. Yes, I know there's books been written by people who have had near-death experiences. There are some commonalities in some of the experiences these people talk about, but there's a lot of differences too. So I wouldn't rely on that stuff. I just don't think it's reliable. But there's no way it is possible for us to think about life after death. What is possible is to think about why belief in a resurrection, in an age to come, why that's important for this life. That's very important. And that's part of what Jesus is getting at here. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking, well, you might compare it to this. As young people, the stage of life that we're in is a stage of preparation, right? We set goals. We decide what kind of life we want to live as adults. Is there going to be marriage and children? What kind of work do we aspire to? And what does it take to reach those goals? What kind of training am I going to need? And if my hope is for a lifelong partner, how's that going to come about? So there's an age of preparation in this life. Hopefully, we're clear enough. I mean, the ideal is, I wasn't, it took me a little bit longer. I was a slow learner. But the hope is that you have a clear idea of where you're headed so that you can do the proper preparation as a young person and then reach your goals and enjoy the fruits of your labor as an adult. And hopefully, whatever kind of family that involves. So there's two stages there, right? There's the preparatory stage, and then there's the stage of fulfillment. The time when we enjoy what it is we prepared for. Jesus thinks of life in this world completely as a time of preparation. Because if you think about it, life in time, and that's what characterizes this age, as he puts it, life in time is hardly even a flash in the pan compared to eternity. Compare the few years we have now to an eternal moment, an eternal present, an eternal now that never ends. And the few past, present, future days we have in this age are almost nothing compared to that. So Jesus is very, very insistent that people prepare, because that's what this life is about. Taking seriously where you're headed. It's like, you know, when I was in high school, I was not thinking about adulthood. That was the last thing in my mind. I was enjoying life, racing my cars, spending money on whatever it is I wanted to buy, enjoying my friends. People ask me, what are you inspired to do in life? Oh, I don't know. It's too far off. I'm not worried about it. You know, and I was just really fortunate, because once I received a social promotion out of high school, that's basically what it was. Get this guy out of here. We're done with him, okay? He's on his own. I was just fortunate enough to have an older brother who invited me, you know, and he was a little bit more clear on life. So I was fortunate in that sense. Shows you how important family can be. But so Jesus constantly, now, in what way does Jesus insist that we prepare? So Jesus is talking about the age to come all the time. It's just that he uses a specific phrase for it. He calls it the kingdom of God, or he calls it the kingdom of heaven. And he's constantly talking about what that means. In fact, he says that it's in some ways it's already here. Some people were saying to him once, what is the sign? What should we look for that the kingdom of God is about to come? Jesus said, forget about signs. Forget about looking. Forget about all that. It's already among you, he said. It's already here. And he told people again and again and again, don't worry about what you're eating, what you're going to drink, why are you so consumed about the affairs of life and time? When you have eternity right in front of you, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, they'll fall into place. Do you have any faith or don't you? Consider the life of the Son of Man. He was talking about himself. I have nowhere to lay my head. I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Neither am I worried about it. I trust God for that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, in some ways, it's already present. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is that we can have a relationship with the one with whom we are going to spend an eternity right now. Right now, we can cultivate that relationship. That's what it means to prepare. So when you think about priorities, what's of most important in life? What's the most important thing? Well, if you were to talk to the Lord, I'm quite certain he would say, well, probably you might want to consider the fact that you're going to spend an eternity someplace. And you might want to consider that more important than which car you're going to buy the next time you need one. Or where your next meal is going to come from. Or whatever it might be. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what was that kingdom Jesus was talking about? Very simply, the kingdom of God means the rule of God, it means the presence of God. God rules through God's love in Jesus Christ. Cultivating a relationship with Jesus Christ is the way we prepare for where we will spend eternity. That's it. It's that simple. Remember the parable about the guy who thought he reached the age of fulfillment. The age of fulfillment is the age when you think, I've finally gotten there. It doesn't get any better than this. All right, his barns were full. He could sit back. He had nothing to worry about. And then something happened. Maybe he had a stroke. Maybe he had an aneurysm. Maybe he had a heart attack. Who knows what it was. But he fell over dead. And then Jesus had a simple line for it. Such is how it is for those who are not rich toward God. The age to come is the age of fulfillment. This life isn't meant to be the eternal life. This is preparation. And cultivating our relationship with God in Christ, God makes himself available to us in his Son. We couldn't find God on our own, so God comes to us in Jesus Christ. And he comes to us and offers us his love, his fellowship, his guidance. He offers his presence to us. And it's through fellowship with Christ. Remember, he said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It starts out real small, you know, which is like any relationship. It starts out just a budding little thing. And then over time, if you cultivate it, it grows and it grows and it grows. And hopefully, this relationship grows into the biggest one in the field. But what does that involve? It involves making choices. It involves choosing to make this relationship more important than other things. And temptations will come along. There's going to be messages within the world that will tell you, no, there's better things than that. Or they'll tell you this belief in life after death is absurd. We're biological creatures. When you're dead, you're dead. Well, if that's the case, then nothing means anything because it all just ends in a black hole. If you want to believe that, go ahead. It's not going to enhance your life any, I can tell you that. But if you believe that we are not here because of some cosmic accident, that we actually have a creator who not only created but sustains this creation and is moving it in a particular direction, then we might want to consider the destination. And the destination's been laid out for us in Jesus Christ. He is the presence of God's kingdom because it is through him that God rules. It is through his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. So, preparation. The preparation for God's kingdom involves making the choices that are necessary for this relationship we have with Christ to grow. And it involves making the kind of choices that sometimes might be painful. We may have to give things up that get in the way. But for gosh sakes, over and against the reality of eternity, is there really a choice? When he was done with this statement, in the age to come, you're going to shine like angels. What he means is that you're going to be filled with God's love. You're going to shine with God's love. As we're growing in God's love fills our entire being, and we shine just like angels. Because in the age of fulfillment, we will be completely filled with God's love and God's Spirit. And just like the angels, we will shine. What that's going to look like, I have no idea. But when he was done telling them this, they were so flabbergasted, thinking they were going to catch him with this riddle. They were so flabbergasted that all they could say was this: "Teacher, you have spoken well." Amen.